Thanks so much for joining us for the New Life Robina podcast. New Life Church is one family, many churches, and we exist to simply see more people more like Jesus by planting and leading thriving local churches. We pray that this message is a blessing.
Awesome. Well, good morning, church. How are you doing this morning? You're doing well. Hello to everyone online. Great choice. It is pouring with rain, so I get it. Wish that I could have done this from home. No, I'm kidding. I'm so glad to be with you today. It is such a good week to be in church because the freshness and the reality and the conviction that we have from Easter is still fresh. It is still very much active and a part of our world. And I hope that even in these last 7 days, there hasn't been that dilution and that distraction from the beautiful freedom that we live in now that our Christ is in fact risen. This week though, after the beautiful high of Easter, like many people I think at the moment, I found myself in bed with a cold. And it was already a short week and I was kind of already on the kind of stressful side of being like, hey, I need to write a message. I've only got 3 days in the office. Okay, what am I doing in bed? And that feeling that we all know when you want to be doing so many other things, but you just don't have the energy for it. And so you know that you have to rest. And I found it particularly ironic knowing the subject matter of this sermon. The sermon that I was stressing to write, the sermon that I hadn't done any work on yet, resounded in my mind as we, for the next 3 weeks, unpack Psalm 23. Particularly our second verse in Psalm 23 was in my mind as the psalmist says, he makes me lie down. And I was lying there thinking, this is a sick joke. I don't want to be lying down. I would like to be writing a sermon. And so I would say it is out of a very practical way that I've come to some of these truths that I'm hoping to unpack today. They are very lived and very fresh for me. And I hope that you too can dwell on this passage of beautiful scripture. And so we, for the next 3 weeks, as I said, we are sitting in Psalm 23. And have there been any such beloved words written? This psalm is a psalm or a piece of scripture that is so well known. People quote this and Christians and non-Christians alike would know of this part of our Bible. It is written on the halls of hospitals. It's etched into tombstones. I think it's recited at Sunday school, and it is sobbed next to the bed of loved ones. This psalm, for generations, for all of history, has marked a very important part of our Christian faith. But I think with familiarity comes danger. I think that the power and the poignancy of it can be diluted as we just think that we know it. And so my hope this morning is that we come with the desire and the expectation that the Holy Spirit will grow something fresh in us, that as we open the powerful words of Scripture, the faithfulness of God yet again meets us. His tangible nature through His Holy Spirit encounters us. And we are changed and made more into His likeness. So for that, I think that we need the help of the Holy Spirit. So would you pray with me as we open? Heavenly Father, I thank You that Your word never returns void, that it is alive and it's active. And Lord, I thank You for the beauty that is found in this psalm. I pray as we surrender ourselves underneath this word, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will grow something fresh in us. God, we have a willingness to ask You to come and move amongst us. Come and have Your way. Come and open up our eyes to see You more clearly. Soften our hearts to receive You. And I pray that You'll attune our ears to Your Spirit's whisper. I thank You, Lord, for this psalm, Psalm 23, that reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such stunning words, such powerful words. And I hope this morning it involves all of who we are as we surrender it to Christ. But this psalm is written in a different style to a lot of the rest of our scriptures in the Bible. You'll notice that not only is it laid out a little bit different in your Bible, but it is a different genre of writing. And of course, it is poetry. And when we read poetry, it requires a certain type of reading. And you might remember earlier this year when I was preaching in January about meditation and the need to linger in the words that we read. Take our time, let it dissolve in us. And that beautiful picture of like taking a lozenger and letting it melt away in our mouth slowly, that is something that I hope that we're able to do today. And so as we look at this scripture, we recognize that there is so much imagery in it. It's beautiful poetry where we're able to almost smell the green pastures, almost hear the quiet streams of running water. We can almost feel what might be a light breeze that resembles a sense of refreshing. There is this beautiful imagery that is laden through this whole poem. And when we look at this poem, we recognize that there is a very general theme here, a theme of the shepherd. And the shepherd is something that is not unique to this psalm only. It's actually embedded throughout all scripture. And there's moments throughout our pages where there's this reminder that the Lord is our shepherd. We see in Ezekiel 34, it says, as for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pastures. We see in the Gospels of Luke 12, where it says, do not be afraid, my little flock. Or in John 21, where Jesus says to Peter, if you love me, then feed my sheep. There is this constant reminder. But I don't know about you, but when I read that the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have a lot of proximity to shepherds. I don't often find myself surrounded with sheep. I can find this world, this agriculture, this picture that is painted. I understand it theoretically, but it's not necessarily something I live out like David did. David was a shepherd. He, of course, understood what this meant in a reality that I can't quite grasp. Eugene Peterson, when he's describing this psalm, he says, I want you to think about this. If our experience of sheep and shepherds is so remote from the world of Psalm 23, which comes out of a lived intimacy with sheep and shepherds, what accounts for the deeply embedded images and phrases so cherished by so many of us who have no firsthand experience with either sheep or shepherds? There is something in this psalm that transcends the Palestinian countryside and the work of the ancient Hebrew shepherd poet. There is something that transcends, which means that there's something in this for us today. And even though we don't really know what it's like to see shepherds, even though we may not know what it's like to be surrounded by sheep, there is something that draws us into the theme and the motif of this psalm. I spent a year over in England at Bible college a number of years ago, and it got to spring, and we noticed that it was spring, not only obviously because of all the beautiful flowers, but for the first time in my life, I found myself surrounded by spring lambs. And I don't know if you've been around lambs, But you think that they're really cute until it's like 3 a.m. and they don't shut up. They are honestly so loud. For such tiny little things, they make such a racket. And the sheep in particular that were in our paddocks, they had all these numbers kind of written on them in kind of spray paint. And it was so that you could identify which ones were part of which kind of flock. And so naturally, of course, you can picture a whole bunch of 20-year-old boys at dinner time and would be eating a beautiful roast. And they say, I think this is like P39, I reckon. I haven't seen that one for a while. Or, oh, I've got 108 over here. And it was a bit too much. But then we actually got around to naming these beautiful sheep. Lambs. And so we gave them these beautiful names. You know, we had Rogan, we had Josh, we had Tikka, we had Masala, we had Butter, we had Shawarma, Korma, all of them. And so it became a nice endearing time that we had some proximity to some sheep. But I say that to say, you know, sheep are not the smartest of animals. And when we read that the Lord is our shepherd, we could be rightly so offended that then that makes us the sheep. And they're not too smart. They're really not. And I sadly, at times, quite identify with a lot of their characteristics. I can see them in their daftness, or in them trying to do something again and again and it not working, and them not seeing that there's another way. You know, all those kind of things that we recognize that in the daftness of sheep, I recognize, it checks out. I'm a bit like that at times. But there's one quality in particular that I really resonate with, is that sheep are very prone to wander. They are very prone to go off course, to find themselves in the middle of nowhere and think, oh gosh, where am I? And it's a fear that I have, actually, where I realize that I too am prone to wander. There's a beautiful old hymn that says, Lord, I prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to wander and lose the one I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I think I have this fear that I am prone to wander away because I think, well, I know there was a time in my life where I did. There were years where I was not pursuing or practicing or delighting in the presence of God. I didn't stop my belief in Him. I didn't stop my love for Him, but I stopped my desire and practice to be with Him. I wonder if you've had a similar time. It was a time in my life where I recognized that I wanted to go and taste and see what the world was like. And when you grow up in a Christian home, when you're surrounded by beautiful Christian fellowship, there's this wrestling where you're like, is this it? Does this cause for my life and my surrender? And there was this time where I said, I'm not sure if it does, and I want to test everything else out. Looks fun. And so that wondering and that finding myself off course was so a part of my journey. And I believe that there's so many people here who had a similar experience. Maybe you're in that experience right now where you recognize I'm not actually chasing after God. I'm not actually wanting to be in His presence. I don't actually want His power to rest on me. I kind of want to take a break. But what I found that even when I spent that time away, even when I was trying to taste and see all that the world had to offer, I think I knew deep in my heart that there was someone who had never misplaced me, who had never forgotten about me, did not for a second not know where I was or protect me in what I was doing or have His gaze and His eyes and His love and His attention on me. And knowing that, I then found myself coming back to Him and being so found in him. I think it's only when you know that that is our shepherd, you recognize that he is very good at his job. He does not lose us. He does not misplace us. He does not forget about us. He does not ignore us. He cares, he sees, he watches. Because when we say that the Lord is my shepherd, who are we talking about? It is the Lord. The word here is Yahweh. And remember who this Lord is. We unpacked it in the Apostles' Creed together. This Lord is our Creator God. He is the God who sees. He is the Almighty God. He is all-powerful God. He is the God who provides. He is the God who protects. He is the God who saves. He is the God who heals. He is the God of justice. He is the God of love, of mercy, of kindness, of compassion. That is our God. And so when we say the Lord is my shepherd, remember that those are the characteristics of our Lord. He is our shepherd. And what I love is that in this psalm kicks off straight away, it says, "It's the Lord isn't the shepherd. The Lord isn't your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." There's such a beautiful picture of relationship here. There's such an intimacy found in those words to be able to say that he is my shepherd. And I think it's easy to think that God saves us. You know, he finds us and then he saves us at the beginning. And then we can skip forward and think that, okay, well, God will be there to judge at the end. But what about the middle? Who is he in the middle? And this picture of our shepherd is that he is the one in the day-to-day, in the in-between, guiding us, protecting us, looking out for us, leading us. That is the one who we have in the in-between. He is not just there for the highs and the lows, but he is there for the every day. He's there during the green pastures, but he is also there during the dark valleys. Eugene Peterson, he says it like this. He doesn't just create us and turn us loose to make the best we can of it. He doesn't just let us fend for ourselves until we die and are hauled before judgment seat for an accounting of our conduct. He is the shepherd who guides us in our wanderings and sustains us in our fugitive lives. He is the one who guides us and the one who sustains us. Karl Barth, he puts it similar. He says this, we need not expect turns and events which have nothing to do with the Lord, his lordship, and are not directly in some sense acts of his lordship. The Lord is never absent, passive, non-responsible or impotent, but is always present, active, responsible and omnipotent. He is never dead but always living, never sleeping but always awake, never uninterested but always concerned, never merely waiting in any respect, but even where he seems to wait, even where he permits, always holding the initiative. This is our shepherd. This is our Lord. And when we recognize that that is who he is, all of those things, I think it's only from that place that we can say, okay, well, if the Lord is my shepherd, then I do lack nothing. I do lack nothing. I want to speak for a moment from my pastoral context leading our young adults. Our young adults are incredible. They are passionate. They are hungry. They are surrounding themselves with beautiful Christian community. They are bringing their friends along. They have desire to see their colleagues find Christ, their classmates encounter Jesus. They are absolutely brimming with enthusiasm in worship and passion for intimacy. It's incredible. You come along to 6 p.m. where a lot of our young adults choose to worship, and it is absolutely booming. God is doing something so special with our young people. But in the same place, what I see from this pastoral perspective is that these same people who are passionate about God, they are also riddled and absolutely pressured by anxiety. They are so stressed. They are so stretched. They are so worried. They are so anxious. They overthink things. They're cautious to step into things because they might not be able to do it perfectly. There's this weight and this pressure that is on our young people. And that, for me, in my position and just in my proximity, it breaks my heart because it is not the way and the freedom and the truth that we can walk in when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. And, you know, obviously, it's no doubt that social media has had a huge impact on this. And can I just say, this is not obviously just our young adults. We see it all over our culture, all over our society. That comparison, that perfectionism, that pressure, it's all there. And it happened way before social media as well. Like, we've, every generation has struggled with this. But it is just, it's an epidemic at the moment. A recent survey in 2022 to 2023 said that 43% of Australians would say that they have had a mental illness at some point in their life. 43%. It's huge. And I would say it's not going down. It's just on the increase. And like me, you might be asking, why is that the case? Why is it the case? And it's not just something that's happening out there. Don't think that in our Christian world and in our churches, we are void of this. No, of course we're not. And not for a second am I saying that there is not allowed to be a sense of mental wrestle and struggle in the places of our churches. Please, of course there is. Don't hear me wrong. But what I would say is that as people of God, are we not to resemble the sense of peace that we have because Jesus gave us the gift of peace? Are we not to feel confident in who we are because we know that we are made in the image of God? Are we not to be people who are content with what we have because we recognize that the things of this world do not, they don't weigh up in eternity. They're not our treasures. They are just earthly things. These truths in Scripture and these gifts that we have in the Spirit, do they not mark our lives and how we live each and every day? And sometimes I think that the wrestle within me to know those truths, but then also to experience the anxiousness and the worry that we find, sometimes I don't know what to do with that. Maybe you know that feeling. But when I see someone who is, even in the turmoil, has a deep inner peace, even in the pain and the confusion and the pressure and the weight and the busyness, they have a sense of calm, inner calm. I see that and I recognize they know that the Lord is their shepherd. They know that they can say, I shall not want. They know that they can say, I lack nothing. But this is such a hard reality for us to fully live out of. Not just know in our heads, but deeply have it embedded in our hearts. I think when we don't have the Lord as our shepherd, we instantly make ourselves the shepherd. If the Lord is not our shepherd, we are the shepherd of our own lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't really want to be the shepherd of my life. Because when pressures come, when struggles come, when the weight comes, when the pressure's there, when the decisions are there, all that, you know, it's just part of our life. when all of that comes, I love to be able to escalate that to a professional. And I'm just not talking about the health professions, but like I would like to escalate that to someone who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, who is faithful, who I can trust. I would very much like to know that that is the one who's calling the shots. When I am the shepherd of my own life, it is exhausting. It is exhausting because I still want my life then to be perfect. Because that's what I see everywhere, right? Every picture out there is this perfect life. And there's this rise in this perfectionism to need to have everything all together. And when you are the shepherd of your own life, when I am the shepherd of my own life, I am the one who then is carrying that weight. I am the one who is striving to make things perfect. I am the one who is saying, I need to be good enough. And this deep sense of inadequacy within me, I need to somehow suppress that in order to then look to Christ to have him fill something. If he is the shepherd, he does that. If I am the shepherd, I lack a lot. And so this morning as we sit here and as we dwell in this psalm, I wonder if you're asking the question, like I've been doing all week, well, who is the shepherd of my life? Am I the shepherd? Or is the Lord my shepherd? I would very much like it to be the Lord. Because then when the wants come, when the needs come, when the desperation of my soul cries out, I know that he is listening. That he is present, that he is powerful, that he is able. We can bring this into our relationship with Jesus when we think that we are the shepherd. We need to think that we kind of have this hybrid. We know that God is my shepherd, but we also think that I am the shepherd. And we bring that into our religious kind of relationship with God. And we come in and we say, well, I've got to have it all together. I've got to come and bring my togetherness before God. And I need to be this super Christian who's able to handle it all the time, reads my Bible every day, goes to small group every week, like super Christian. But that's so dry. And I would say that that leads to burnout so quick. When we're trying to be this super Christian, we just get burnt out on religion. And for us who are tempted in that way, my encouragement is to say, stop trying to be a super disciple and be a surrendered disciple. It is the way to distill our souls. It is the way to come under the lordship of our shepherd. Stop trying and start surrendering. I think it's only then that we can actually exhale. It's only then that we can let it out. And it's only then that we can actually enjoy these next few verses where he says, he leads me, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He. Not me, me, me. The focus here is that when we surrender to our shepherd, he is the one that lets us rest. I think when we're in an anxious state, when we're worried, the only way that we can truly rest is that we know that someone else is in control, someone else is in charge, and that person is very capable. It's only then that we can start to rest. And so the order of this psalm that is showing us that the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I actually lack nothing. I don't want for anything because now I can rest in him. And this is a picture of trust, right? You can only lie down if you trust the one who is letting you to lie down, the one who is watching, the one that is keeping everything else going so that you can take a break, so that you can rest. And it's there in that rest that the refreshment comes. And this is a picture of the Sabbath. This is the picture of the fact that God allows us to take time off because He is still God and He has still got it. And so this picture of rest is a beautiful gift to us. We have set out this beautiful prayer walk. And this week we got quite interactive with it. We demonstrated each of the actions where we've got Brett Lush here lying down in our green pastures. And I was going to do an activity with us today, but I recognize that if we lay down in the green pastures, we would also experience the still waters at the same time. It is rather muddy. And so we've got that prayer walk. Come and use it at any point during the week or at any time, really. But we know that the Lord is our shepherd, then we're actually being able to be refreshed in Him. Jesus, in His instruction and His revealing to His followers, He said in John 11 that I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And He wasn't saying I'm the good, nice shepherd. And they didn't understand Him to mean that He would be kind and like His sheep and They lived in this shepherd country. They knew full well what it meant to be a good shepherd, the one who would go into battle for these sheep, the one who would come and risk their lives, the ones who would have the priority of the sheep above their own. They were obviously good and bad shepherds, like in any profession. But the final test of a shepherd was how far were they willing to go? Would they risk their life to protect their sheep? Would they lay down their life for them? And when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, it's because we know over Easter, right? We celebrated the fact that He actually did lay down His life. That He was the ultimate shepherd, the one who said, you know what, I am willing to go to the cross for you. You are the apple of His eyes. You are the ones in His protection and possession. He was the one who said, you are worth going after. You're the one that I will risk my life for. And Jesus fulfills every marvelous detail of Psalm 23. In His life and in His person, He continues to work out historically over generations and then individually for us as He guides us and He saves us, as He protects us, as He sees us, as He chases after us. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is the good, good shepherd who laid down His life for us. The shepherd is never absent. Jesus has not and will not abandon you. Do you know who the shepherd of your life is? Who is it this morning? Is it our God or is it ourselves? Who is your shepherd? Who is leading you? Who is guiding you? Who are you relying on to save you? Who are you putting your hope in? Who are you surrendering to? Who are you letting strengthen you? Who are you letting love you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. Who is your shepherd? We're going to take a moment now just to let this kind of sink in. I always find after a sermon, I'm a bit like, would love a bit of time to process. And I'm just going to leave that question on the screen. Who is the shepherd of your life? Because I believe that there's so many people in here today who think that they are the shepherd, but they actually are done with that. They want to hand it over. They want to allow Jesus to be the shepherd. So in a moment, we're going to pray. But before we do that, would you mind just standing with me? I'm just going to create a little bit of space. And like every week, I would love to make an opportunity for people who are here. Maybe you've been wandering around. Maybe you've been tasting and seeing what the world has been like, and maybe it's left you dry and thirsty and wanting for something more. And maybe you're here at Easter and this kind of started for you, or maybe it's your first time, or maybe you've been sitting in church for years and you recognize that you have been bringing religion before our God rather than desiring a relationship with Him. And I'd love to create a moment for everyone online, everyone in the room, just to be able to respond this morning. If you are in a state where you don't want to be the shepherd of your life anymore and you want the ultimate shepherd, Jesus, to come in and lead your life and to protect you and to guide you and save you, if that's you this morning, you'd just love to let Jesus come in, take the burden off, surrender to Him. If that's you, would you like to just pop your hand up, because I'd love to pray with you. If you just want to hand over to Jesus and let Him rule your life. Beautiful. Is there anyone else? Awesome. Online, our team would love to connect with you as well. But I'm just going to lead us in a prayer as people are responding to Jesus this morning and asking for Him to come into their heart. I'm just going to say a few lines and I'd love for you to repeat them after me. And this is a way that we are able to believe in our heart and declare with our mouth that we want Jesus to be the Lord of our life. And it's just the start of a beautiful journey of relationship with Him. So would you adopt a posture of prayer, whatever that looks like for you? Maybe you want to close your eyes or whatever it is, and just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your love for me. I'm sorry for my wandering. Bring me back to You. I want You to be my Lord, my Savior, my Shepherd, and my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amazing. And I'd love to just spend a moment as well. I felt this all week. But I think that there's a few of us that might feel kind of at the end of your rope. You're exhausted. You're exhausted at that soul level. And when I read those words of being refreshed, He refreshes my soul, you yearn for that. You need a refreshment to happen of your soul. And if that's you this morning, would you like to just pop your hands out in front of you? Because I'm going to pray that God just comes and meets us through His Spirit and is able to offer that sense of refreshment. It's nothing that I can do. He comes and He does a deep work in us to refresh us. So if that's you, just pop your hands out in front of you. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You see us, that You have not forgotten us, that You know exactly where we are. You know exactly what we need because You are our good shepherd. And Lord, I pray for those who are just feeling absolutely exhausted. They recognize maybe I've been doing this all in my own strength for too long. I know, God, You are my shepherd. Help me to submit to You. Carry this load for me. Guide me, lead me, save me, direct me. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that You will bring Your refreshment to our souls. Come and do a deep work in us. Come and bring the power in our weakness. Come and bring Your peace that guards our heart and mind and soul. Come and breathe afresh into us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the New Life Podcast. If that stirred something within you or you'd like prayer, you can head to church.nu/prayer or contact us through our Instagram or Facebook page. We pray that you have a great week. Be blessed.